welcome everybody to our Now on the Clock podcast. Thank you for joining us. I want to thank you guys for tuning into another episode where we get to talk some of the great activity going on in the world of sports. And hey, I just want to remind you guys, you can find us or link with us on our social media accounts. We're on Facebook, Now on the Clock podcast. Like us on there, get involved in the conversation. We're on Twitter at Now on the Clock and Instagram, Now on the Clock podcast. We'd like you guys to be involved with us, be a part of the conversation, and join us there. And I want some shout out for joining us last week on our podcast. Thanks for joining us. And let's talk about our show this week. The NFL's been wild. A lot of controversy this week in the NFL. We have the Redskin name change, which we touched on last week. We're going to touch a little bit on that. We got some controversy with DeSean Jackson and Drew Brees. A little bit of heated war, a little bit of social media battle going back and forth there. We have the 49ers in the news, some controversy there, some drama in Niner-land with their running back that received an extension, Mozart, demanding a trade or wanting out of his deal. We have more of that drama with DeAndre Baker and Quentin Dunbar. We're going to touch on that. And in the NBA world, we got LeBron James playing a little battle with his buddies in the sport about him not wanting to be part of that social justice naming on the back of the jerseys. And I'm joined by my two wonderful co-hosts, one on each side of the coast. We got Paulie Mack in Florida and John Galley in California. Welcome, guys. How's everything?
Great. How are you doing? Staying healthy?
Doing good. Mask free, staying healthy.
How are you doing in Florida, Paul?
Dude, I just got back from celebrating 26 years of being married to my beautiful wife. And I just want to tell you, I went to this restaurant, La Moraga, and everything was fantastic. But if you know me, you know I like dark chocolate. I like desserts. But I had bread pudding for the first time. I don't know if you guys have ever had bread pudding. It was – I didn't even know what bread pudding was. But, you know, I took the waitress's her recommendation. One of the best desserts I ever had. Have you guys ever had bread pudding?
I have had bread pudding. It's all right. Not the best fan of it, but I've had it. It's all right.
This was soaked in like a coconut white chocolate sauce and with a little raspberry drizzle on the top with some ice cream, homemade ice cream. Oh, my goodness. I don't know. It can only go down for here for bread pudding.
The bar was set pretty high, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Johnny, how you doing over there?
I'm okay. You know, it's been a rough week. I had to cancel my gym membership. I'm not going back in that place with the virus running around.
You wear a mask?
I don't wear a mask when I work out, and I don't want to be around other people not wearing masks when they work out, sweating all over the place. You can't wipe down every piece of equipment before somebody touches it.
You guys were open for action this last week?
They've been open for a couple of weeks, but to tell you the truth, I've only kept it for the free tanning. I mean, the gym looks like a rehabilitation center for old people. I mean, it really does. It doesn't look like a Gold's, I'll tell you that. So I had to go in and cancel that. So I guess I'll be working out at home for a little while, but I'm not going to have any tan.
So you could be on the Paul workout, body weight only. Body weight only.
40 push-ups every morning.
Bread pudding only.
All right. You don't want that diet.
Hey, let's jump into this call real quick. I know last week we talked a little bit, and there was some in the news. I know Paul did. We talked about the Redskin name change. We talked about what they might do, and I know Paul had some feedback from a listener, I believe, on this. So let's touch on this real quick before we jump into our main topic for this week.
Yeah, so the Redskins name change, apparently they came out today and said that they're doing away officially with the Redskins name. We were anticipating an announcement by them today, but they didn't announce a new name. And speculation is that it is a name that has trademark ties to it. So either they're buying somebody out for the name, or trying to get the trademark rights and trying to figure out how that's going to work. And I was thinking back to some teams that had similar names in different sports, and maybe that's a hang up. And I thought about the St. Louis Cardinals and the Arizona Cardinals. I remember back in the day, you think about the New York Giants, football Giants, and then there was also the New York Giants, which are now the San Francisco Giants. So what do you guys think about having a similar name? Let's say they come up with the Warriors. How do you feel about them coming up with a name like the Warriors, or what do you guys think would be a good name?
I think it'd be great, but what I think they need to do is maybe partner with the people at the Navajo Nation and figure out – you know, Nate, you made a comment last week about the current Redskin design looking pretty honoring. So why not partner with the Navajo Nation and figure out an honoring – work together and figure out a name that they'll appreciate and – they feel honors their culture. Why can't they do that?
I think that's right. I think Paul touched on this on another call we had about who maybe designed this logo. I do think it is honoring. The name may need to go, but the logo, I think it's pretty cool. Paul, you touch on this.
Yeah, so I was actually doing a little research on the Redskin logo, and as it turns out, the Redskins used to have that R on their helmet. And they were approached by Native Americans back, I think it was in 1933, I think it was. And actually, I have it right here. Walter Wetzel, a former chairman of the Blackfeet Nation, persuaded the top executives to get away with the R logo from the helmets in favor of a profile of an Indian warrior, which he designed, which that portrait of that Indian he designed was an actual person from their tribe. So it actually does honor an actual tribe, the Blackfeet Nation, because they were integral in designing and not being offended because, you know, they were ultimately the people that persuaded the owners back then to drop the R and go with the current Redskin logo that everybody seems to be offended by.
Basically, it's a portrait of their people.
It is. It's a portrait of the, and they're very proud about it. You know,
but is the logo what people are offended by, or the name?
Well, I haven't heard much on the logo. I think it's the name.
Yeah, I think it's the name. I think the name is what is bothering people, you know, and I think that's what's getting people. You know, maybe the name Redskins with the R originated, and they said, hey, if you're going to be the Redskins, let's get an actual tribe member for your logo. But now in today's culture, I think they're doing away with anything that offends anybody. And it's probably a right move, you know, to get rid of the Redskin name. But hopefully it, even though Dan Snyder said it will not be anything to do with any Indian heritage, I think it would be wise to still go along those lines. And I wish they can keep the logo, but you know, in today's culture, you know, that's probably not going to happen.
And that's what he said. That's Daniel Snyder's quote, that they're going to go away from their Native American mascot and it's imaging.
He said it's going to have nothing to do with anything with ties to Native American.
That's a shame. Like we said last week, he's going to find a way to bungle it, and he could have did the right thing by keeping a similar mascot, similar imaging,
or changing it out to something they wanted. Changing it to something they liked. As simple as that. Working with them. And then you kind of, I mean, I think it'd be a great PR move. But
yeah, that would be genius.
Whatever.
We predicted he would bungle it, right? This could have been a boon for him, for the NFL, for race relations. It could have been something special. But we'll see how it ends up.
It's going to be a whole
blithering idiot.
It's going to be a whole new theme to the Cowboys versus the Redskins rivalry.
All right, thanks for touching on that, Paul. Thanks for bringing that insight there. Okay, I haven't been really following this firestorm, but I know it's been blazing. We got the Drew Brees, Deshaun Jackson drama.
Yes.
Okay, so Deshaun Jackson, was it last week, early last week, posted some tweets quoting Adolf Hitler and Farrakhan, who are both known for being anti-white, anti-Semitic, you know, hate speech, I guess you could say. Obviously, Hitler killed 6 million Jews.
Supposedly. And then, no, I'm yeah. just kidding. I'm
wow.
just kidding.
Wow, I didn't say that. So anyway, killed 6 million Jews. You know, Jewish people are one of the oldest groups to be persecuted against, going back to biblical times, right? I mean, so this isn't something new, and it didn't just end when the Holocaust ended, because synagogues are still being blown up today. And there's two schools of thought on this. There's a thought out there from the Jewish community that there wasn't enough outrage over the tweets. And there's a thought that, you know, people's views are a little distorted. A lot of black players came out in support of DeSean Jackson. Steven Jackson from the NBA had some interesting quotes that the Jews have all the money and control the banks. You know, more stuff to divide us. Malcolm Jenkins.
That's a good question. Why was this brought up? Why?
Well, he was posting on a Black Lives Matter topic, I guess, and DeSean Jackson says he's trying to unite and educate his culture. So okay. That's why they were posting.
This stemmed from the Black Lives Matter movement.
No.
Okay. Well, lost with this.
Yeah. So what I know about it is DeSean Jackson is a big fan of Farrakhan. So he posted a passage from Farrakhan where Farrakhan actually quotes Hitler incorrectly, because people have done the research and it's not an actual Hitler quote, but it's something that Farrakhan uses for his own propaganda or material or what have you. And DeSean Jackson, it's one of the things that he happened to post that was offensive to Jews.
Any of you guys have the quote?
Yeah.
I think we should just touch on it real quick. I just want to see the...
Well, so, John... Go ahead, John.
Have it right here. So the quote said, and it was on Instagram, and what it says is Jews will extort America and have a plan for world domination. It goes on, it also says they'll blackmail, or the Negroes can't find out about it, or if they find out about it, it won't happen. The quote goes on, but that's the gist of it.
Well, to me, let me just touch on this real quick. This troubles me deeply, because two things that disturb me about humans is the need for some sort of like savior, being like a king or a politician as a savior, and the need for an antagonist, right? Humans always got to have some sort of enemy. And when you're looking for like a president to save you, or you're looking for an enemy that you got to keep your eye out, it stops you from taking personal responsibility for your life, right? In life, we got to just handle our business. We don't need an enemy. We can't wait for someone to come rescue us. We got to take personal responsibility. It seems like in this culture that we live in, everyone wants to blame someone else for their problems.
Well,
and that's Julian, what it sounds like here. It's again, it's the same thing.
I think Julian Edelman had the perfect response. He came out in a video and he asked DeSean to go with him to the Holocaust Museum, and he would go with DeSean to the African American Museum, and they would learn about each other's culture. And he just delivered it in a very genuine, his message in a very genuine and heartfelt way. And I think Steven Jackson, and don't get me wrong, I understand why black people would support DeSean Jackson and his quote, even if it was wrong. I get it.
I don't.
I understand it. It doesn't make it right. They were supporting him. I assume they would look at it, if they didn't support him, as not staying true to their culture. I don't know if that's true, but that's what I'm assuming.
I don't think that is. You want to support a brother's free speech, though, right? You don't want to silence him, and you want to educate him, maybe not publicly, but...
Yeah, you know what? DeSean Jackson's an idiot. We all agree on that. But I
fast,
think
he's fast.
He's an idiot. I mean, he literally is an idiot. Maybe he was waking and baking and typing some stuff. Who knows? Okay. But the biggest issue that I have with this whole DeSean Jackson, Drew Brees things is the I find it when you put the two side by side and you compare how the reaction was from the athletes, you know, I think that that comes to a greater problem because let's take what Drew Brees said. He said, I'm against anybody that kneels for the flag. LeBron James, arguably the most influential sports figure of our time, rips him up and down. And because LeBron James does that, all these athletes follow. To where Drew Brees has to basically go on an apologetic tour and apologize. I'm sorry for what I said. I didn't find anything wrong with what he said. That's his belief, and he's entitled to it. But when DeSean Jackson posts offensive racist comments, where's the outrage? Where's LeBron James? Where are all these athletes that were so outraged to what Drew Brees said in comparison to what LeBron said? That's okay, what I got an issue with.
Okay, well, one thing is, like, I think it would be when you feel like a brother acts up, like me or John was to do something that you didn't agree with, you wouldn't be using a social media platform to disagree. You would talk to us like a man, right? And a lot of times, especially I think in certain cultures, that's the conversation you want to have, not like the outrage. You don't want to like embarrass someone that was out of line. You want to have a conversation to hopefully educate his viewpoints.
That's fine. But there, and I believe there's some innocence and ignorance here. I don't think DeSean Jackson is after the Jewish community or hates Jews. I just don't think he knew what he was posting.
Okay, well, you don't study and quote really controversial figures.
Right, you don't.
You can't be articulate and accurate what you're quoting then. I mean, there's
also, like Paul was saying, there's also a bigger issue here. The NFL Players Association representative, Malcolm Jenkins, came out. He was asked about the comments, and he seemed kind of aggravated that anybody's even spending some time on this, saying that Jews aren't their problem, and they're not Jews' problem. So stop distracting from the issue. Okay, well, you want people to care about your cause, and you're not going to care about theirs? And we're talking about lives in both instances. So that speaks to a bigger problem, I believe. And, you know, your cause isn't better than the Jewish cause, is it? I mean, people are being killed for no reason because of what they believe in or the color of their skin. That's a problem in both instances.
And we have come into in the world, right? There's a lot of hateful rhetoric that's spewed out, right? That again, we don't need to have enemies. We don't need to, like, make people group our enemies. But we got to take care of our own house, our own bodies, our own selves to get to where we want to get. We don't need to like point out a certain people group that we may think controls the money or certain people. It's just lame. It's just, it paralyzes you from growing. That's kind of my thought.
We've talked about it off air. Stop dividing people. You want things to change? Then we all need to do it together or things are just going to get worse. Bottom line, right?
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that take. Paul, what do you got? I see you got a good cigar there. Any final thoughts on this? We could wrap this one up.
No, I just would have liked to see some of the prominent athletes, specifically LeBron James, who kind of started this whole firestorm, to come and denounce this. When you attack another athlete, one as prominent as Drew Brees, for a remark he made that's not racist, and you don't denounce what DeSean Jackson, basically you're saying you agree with it. If you're going to be have a bully platform, which LeBron James has, and he's Mr. Social Media and all causes of creating a better life for all people, and you see a travesty and a race, I'll call it for what it is. DeSean Jackson's a racist. He made a racist remark. And LeBron James, as well as other athletes, especially within – do you remember Lincoln Riley when he made a statement, it came out that he said the N-word? Man.
Riley Cooper.
He got so much flack.
The Eagles wide receiver, not the coach. You want to make that
clear. Let's clear it up.
The Eagles wide receiver, Riley Cooper.
And then they called, and then because the coach didn't cut him, they made Chip Kelly, they called him a racist. So I find the dichotomy or the comparison between the two laughable in how we hold certain people more accountable than others based off of what they said, even though
it might be more white. Let's just call it what it is. He's white. Deshaun's black. What Drew Brees said is a bigger issue. I mean, I'm not saying that that's true or not true. Let's just call it like it is. Drew Brees is white. Deshaun Jackson's black. That's why, you know, Deshaun Jackson didn't get the backlash that Drew Brees did.
And one,
you don't believe that? I mean, what do you guys think?
I do believe that, but I think the fact of the matter, one voice carries substantially more weight than the other voice. And I don't think it has to do with their skin color. I don't think that has anything to do with their skin color. Because one is, you know, a very, it gets a lot of commercials, and one's not in any commercials.
And let me just say about Drew Brees, I don't agree. Paul, you got your take. I don't agree with what Drew Brees said. The question was about the protests, and he goes directly to the flag. It had nothing to do with the flag at that point, and he decided to bring the flag up. Look at the birdie. Look at the birdie. That's not, you know, whatever. Okay, and then he comes out and apologizes later. His wife gave a better apology than he did. Bullshit.
Well, we talked about this. Remember, I thought that's going to disrupt the Saints' season and the locker room. That was my take on that. We'll see what happens. But this gives another team that may have make some headway for their quest to repeat as the NFC champion, the 49ers. And there's a little bit of drama going on in 49er land in Santa Clara. You want to fill us in on that, John?
So Raheem Mostert, who had one total touch before he came to San Francisco and signed a 3-year extension last year after the season, after he broke his forearm and ended up on injured reserve, he got a 3-year extension. He ran for 772 yards last year on 137 carries. He averaged 2.2 yards after contact, which puts him at 21st in the league. That's important. Because the next stat is really important, and what I want you guys to understand, and anybody out there who thinks he deserves more money, and he doesn't want a lot more. Tevin Coleman makes $4.55 million, and that's what he wants. He wants to be the highest paid running back on the Niners, which you wouldn't think is a big deal, but with salary cap structure and all the other stuff, George Kittle's extension, it is a big deal. Okay? He averaged 3.5 yards before contact last year. Before contact. That was second in the league to a quarterback who was number one. Anybody want to guess who that quarterback was? Lamar Jackson, okay? Guess who number three was, yards before contact. This is important. Matt Breida. Why is that important? Because Matt Breida was also a 49er running back last year. Kyle Shanahan calls the plays. The offensive line opens the holes. Raheem Mostert, you get him in space. Dynamic runner, super fast, not super strong. 50-50 inside outside the tackle last year. He wants more money. He's demanding a trade. Niners have balked at giving him more money. What do you guys think? I think they should force him to play or trade him. They're deep in the running back group, but not pay him. What do you guys think?
I guess my question is, what you're saying to me is it's the system, not the player?
I'm saying it's more the system than the player.
No, I'm just saying.
The Shanahan family shits out running backs. That's what I'm saying.
So could you say the same thing for, say, Joe Montana and Jerry Rice for Bill Washington?
I can't. You know what? Get at it. Just.
Now, well, listen. With
Turn
Shanahan.
Him off. Mute him. Mute him.
With Shanahan, it is the system. I mean, I don't know exactly what he's asking for, a dollar amount. I would give him a slight bump in salary because he performed very good in the postseason. He did a lot of – I mean, he didn't fumble. Did he have any fumbles in the postseason? I don't think he did.
No.
You know, he secured the ball. He helped you guys get to the Super Bowl.
He did.
But what do we care? I mean, Jamal Adams is asking for a contract extension. Every player is asking for a contract extension. I mean, they all want to do away – as soon as they have one good year or even it sounds like a half a season, they want a contract extension or they want a new contract. They want to rip it up. It's just – it's just a chess game between the owners and the players. They want to take advantage of their stardom, and the players, the owners, they want to fit as many good players under their salary cap.
Look, the one thing
everything's negotiable, man. It doesn't work out, it doesn't work out.
Well, the one thing I'll say, look, this is why Mostert wants a new deal. He's 28 years old. By the time his contract up, he's going to be 30. A 30-year-old running back's not going to get a lot of money in the NFL. He's probably never going to have more value than he does right now. But that's not the Niners' problem. And I talked to your agent about signing that deal you signed last year if you have an issue.
If Paul was an agent, If Paulie was an agent, he'd be trying to get him more money. So let's be real, right? Yeah.
Right. That's right. Hey, how much didn't they draft a running back too?
They didn't. They got Salman Ahmed from UW as an undrafted free agent. Jermichael Hasty out of Baylor as an undrafted free agent. They still have Jeff Wilson Jr., an undrafted free agent. He played last year and played well when he played. And they have Jerick McKinnon, who hasn't played in 2 years, and Tevin Coleman from the Falcons.
So and you got Debo Samuel, man. He can make a dent in the running game, man. He's good.
There you go. Debo and Ayuk.
You got, yeah, they can run the ball.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I Raheem Mostert, I get why he's asking for more money, but I really don't think he's going to get it, nor do I think the Niners should.
All I know, John, if you were playing for the Niners, you could probably get 3 points. If you can get out of your stance, you could probably get 3.3 yards of carry in that.
Running through those holes, I know. Jeez.
Driving Mac through those holes. All right, look, I haven't been following this story, so I need you guys to talk about their names. But we got these two defensive backs in the news. One just got a nice contract with Seattle. Baker and who?
Baker and Quentin Dunbar.
So basically, and we talked about this about when it first came out, these two gentlemen were at a few parties and they robbed some people, took some watches, did some other stuff. And they had about four people that fingered them as the people that did it. So the NFL is investigating this as well as the police. Well, the police have eyewitnesses. Come to find out, they have recordings. They have Instagram messages through their investigation that these two gentlemen went and took about, say, $70,000 out of the bank between them and paid off the eyewitnesses for that will testify against them. So they would recant their story. So not only do they have recordings of them doing this, they have Instagram messages, they have video of them, all the parties involved showing up at the lawyer's office and them doing the payoff. So if they didn't think they were in trouble for actual burglary, they're in even bigger trouble now for trying to pay off witnesses of a crime that they committed.
Yeah.
And they actually have them admitting to the crime in one of their Instagram posts.
Paul, correct me if I'm wrong. Now, Dominic Johnson, who I read on the Daily News website, Dominic Johnson is actually a party that knows everybody involved. And he's the one that threw this get together. And I read that it was a Madden tournament gone wrong, that these guys all played Madden during the year. That he brought them to somebody's house in the off season. They supposedly all knew each other. There wasn't supposed to be any street guys there, so it was supposed to be totally safe. Some guys started winning, and they were playing for money. Some guys started winning the money. Another guy got upset and thought he was cheating. I don't know how that turned into a full-blown robbery.
Was he double-clicking?
It was double clicking. Hey, John, can you clarify that comment? Street guys, what does that mean? I don't know about it. Well, street guys, what does that mean?
Thugs, baby, thugs. So that's what I read, that it was a Madden tournament gone wrong, and that's why they're in this hot water. Can you imagine losing your career over a Madden tournament? Why you're packing at a Madden tournament, I don't know. But anyway, that's what I read, and they got paid off $55,000. Paul, you read 70. $55,000, DeAndre Baker drove over to the lawyer's office. And yeah, Paul's right, video from CCTV and Instagram direct messages and maybe a cell phone left at the scene that Dominic Johnson took so police couldn't see it. But maybe they've gotten a hold of it, I don't know. But they have evidence, some of the evidence, I guess, is with Apple right now, and they're trying to get to it. So that's what's going on with them.
Let me ask you a question, Nate. So let's take the Patriots and their punishment. They just filmed the Cincinnati Bengals and lost a third-round pick. What do you think the punishment's going to be for, one, being convicted of robbery or burglary, and then trying to pay off the witness? What's the NFL going to impose? That's what everybody wants to know. What do you think the punishment's going to be?
They'll be suspended for a year. But let me touch on this real quick before I go into the punishment. I'm like, why are we touching this story? Now, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. This is nothing. But the story's great. It's a great story now that I hear what's going on, a Madden tournament gone wrong. This is incredible. This is going to be like a movie.
It'll be a movie. Two idiots.
Yeah, but however.
Wait. Apparently there's a third player that might be involved, but we don't know the name yet. That's what I read.
Does he have blonde hair and play for the Browns?
Well, as long as it's not Jimmy G, I'm okay. So, but apparently that might be what some of the information that Apple has might uncover this third player. We'll see.
Awesome. But I think again, it's a year suspension.
Are they going to do? Are they going to get jail time? They're going to get jail time.
Yeah, they're getting jail time.
All right. So what does that mean? Once they get out of jail, they can't play, or?
Well, then they'll have to serve a suspension because the NFL doesn't run them concurrent.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, they could consult Lawrence Phillips for any legal advice on how they handle their career from there. Okay, we're going to touch on the NBA real quick. We're going to touch about the NBA, and I want Johnny G to talk about this. You seem to be pretty up to speed on this NBA and LeBron James situation.
Okay, so Paul mentioned LeBron James earlier, social justice warrior.
Yes.
And that's interesting because LeBron has chosen not to put any social logo messaging on the back of his jersey this year, even though Kyle Korver has.
What is Korver?
And a lot of other players. I believe this says Black Lives Matter.
I thought it had his middle initial on there too.
So this is an important point, maybe. That the logo goes in place of the name. I don't know, maybe. Maybe it's important, maybe not. I don't know how big LeBron's ego is, right? I don't know.
Yeah, you do.
A couple of the logo options included Black Lives Matter, Say Their Names, Vote, I Can't Breathe, Inequality.
Wait a second. You said you don't know how big LeBron James' logo is? Do you remember the decision?
Ego.
Do you remember the decision?
I was being sarcastic, Nate. Come on.
Okay.
So, anyways, what was funny is in a story from the USA Today, LeBron is quoted as saying is he was not involved in the decision-making process when they were deciding about the logos, and he had some ideas. But he wasn't involved, and that's okay. He's absolutely okay with that, in fact. And he wants people to know that even though he doesn't wear a logo that 300 and something other players are going to wear, he doesn't need to show that to show people he's on a mission. And he stands up for the Black culture, and he never once not thought about playing in the NBA this season after what happened to George Floyd. He believes that playing basketball is going to unite the Black community. So that's what LeBron is doing. Your thoughts?
That's a good summary. So Paul, go ahead. I have no comments. Interesting take. Why is the NBA doing this? I want to know.
I think they're reactionary. They're trying to say because the NBA is majority Black that they side with the Black culture and what they're going through in today.
They already do. It's 98% African American, right? It is their culture.
I agree. They're pushing all their chips in though, but there are some things that. Instead of your name, you could put on the back, and they listed about 20 of them. So Black Lives Matter was one of them. Equality is one of them. Freedom is one of them. And I just want to give you LeBron James' exact quote. I didn't go with a name on the back of my jersey. It was no disrespect to the list that was handed down to all players. I commend anyone who decides to be on the back of my jersey. Just something that didn't seriously resonate with my mission, with my goal. So my question to you was, is freedom not part of his mission or goal? Is Black Lives Matter? Does he not believe in that? Is he not here to support Black lives? I mean, why is he not putting something that equality on the back of his jersey?
I said you don't like LeBron James. That's kind of a stretch.
I just think he's a hypocrite. When you're the social justice warrior and you say you do all these things for the Black community, and then you have an opportunity to actually show your support for the Black community, and then you sit on your hands when given the opportunity because you didn't control the message or you weren't consulted. What this tells me is LeBron James wants control of everything. It's about money with him. He doesn't want to be remembered with anything but James on the back of his jersey. He doesn't want Black Lives Matter on the back. He doesn't want freedom on the back. He's not here to support the black community. He punted. He quit on the black community when he had an opportunity to support him. This is twice on him.
Interesting take.
James does a lot of good with his I Promise Foundation in Akron, Ohio, with the black community. I'll say that. But why wouldn't you want to do this together?
You know why? You know why? What if he just thought it was lame? I think it's pretty lame. Why are they doing this? I don't even understand why they're doing it.
It's good PC for the league. And the players came together with the league. The league thought it was good PC and jumped all over it.
Okay,
but that being said, again, whatever you're going to do, do it together. I mean, it's just, I think this is all about ego and brand for LeBron. He wants to protect his brand, and he has a huge ego and doesn't want to replace the James name.
You sound probably right. I think it's pretty lame. And why don't they just put something on their shoes like they always do?
Yeah.
Let me ask you, Nate.
So going back to the whole Drew Brees thing, because I think they're a little bit intertwined with social media. Drew Brees said he's not for anybody that kneels for the national anthem. And LeBron James' exact quote, or one of his quote, was, "You don't understand the purpose of it." So apparently LeBron James is in tune with, while they're kneeling for the national anthem, is to promote social justice and inequality that black people
raise have. Awareness for social
raise justice. Raise awareness. So my question is, why doesn't LeBron support this and standing by his NBA teammates that believe in this just as much as he says he does? You know, it is that saying that, you know, is it lip service or is it action? You have an opportunity to do something. Is it lip service or is it action?
To put a little silly slogan on the back of your jersey instead of your name?
The question is, not whether you agree with the slogan. The question is, why did LeBron James punt and quit on the black community when he could be supporting it?
I know, but to say he punted or quit on the black community for all the good that he does, you may not like the guy, but it is a disrespectful thing to say, because he's not going to put a slogan on the back of his jersey. He punted and quit on a community he pumps millions of dollars into. That's crazy.
Yeah, but when you criticize Drew Brees
on the black community, that's a little harsh. I mean, I don't know why he's not choosing to participate. You say it's lame, Nate. Okay, but they're doing it. So why not participate and show your unity?
Okay, did he quit on his brothers in the NBA?
Did he punt on them?
I could agree with that one. But with the community, I can't.
I think if you're well-versed in the NBA and you remember LeBron's last year in Cleveland, he did quit on the team when they were playing against the Boston Celtics. He actually quit. And if anybody's out there listening to this podcast, go ahead and look that up. LeBron James quits Boston Celtics. You will see that he quit on his teammates his last year in Cleveland.
Okay, I won't disagree. What is that? So that goes more in line with what I just said than him punting or whatever you said, not supporting or standing with the black community.
I don't think he did. When he had an opportunity to stand with his brothers in the NBA, when the NBA is doing something to recognize social justice, whether I agree with it or not, he had an opportunity to stand with them, and he quit. He didn't stand by his brothers. It's like everybody kneeling for the national anthem in the NFL, and the people that didn't kneel were ostracized. But LeBron James, everybody's putting this on the back of their jerseys, and he's saying, "I'm too big a superstar to participate in this."
That's a good point, Paul. That's actually a really good point.
But are you sure everyone is?
300 and some players.
How many players in the league?
Not that many. There's.
How many of that? I mean, what is it? So there's 15 on a team, 15 times 30. Do that math for me. So yeah, every player but LeBron, all but one.
So wait, Nate, I got your answer to this. As somebody who's black, it does not bother you that he chose to not be part of this awareness campaign.
I really don't know enough to say, but I think it's lame. And I don't know if I would do it, but if every player in the league did it, and I was the only one that did it, didn't do it, yeah, I would feel like I would feel like I was, you know, letting my union brothers down. So if he's the only one not doing it, yeah, there's some other reason. There's some strange reason behind it. It's not just because they're going to take off his James off the back of the jersey.
Is it because he didn't think of it?
Doing it's something deeper than we have and we're privy to right now.
Is it because he didn't think of it, you think, and because he wasn't involved in the process? Maybe that's why he's not doing it.
Yeah. He thinks he's the commissioner of the NBA. He does think he's the leader of the NBA. So if it's not his baby, maybe he just said, no, I don't want to do it. But, yeah, there's more that we'll find out that we'll touch on in one of these future episodes. And it's very interesting. It's very interesting. But I don't feel by any means that, like the black community is going to be a mark against LeBron James for support of the black community.
Oh, I don't think we will be touching on it because I don't think anybody's going to be talking about it in a week from now.
We will because I want to know. I want to know a little more. I want to dig a little deeper. This is a cool little story.
I don't think it's going to bother anybody.
Well, my question, and a bigger question, since we're bringing this up, do you think it's going to? People are starving for sports, but for some of the stuff that they're putting on the back of jerseys can be offensive to some people. Do you see this impacting people watching games?
I don't know. I don't.
Okay. Listen,
maybe minimal.
As a biracial man, look, I want to watch sports. Okay. What these guys do, I respect freedom of speech and I want people to have their opportunity to say what they want to say. But I don't want all the messaging to be about social justice, right? That's the national anthem. Like, if the NFL starts doing things on their helmet, their cleats, their jerseys, you know, come on. I want to watch the sport. You know, someone's do something prior to the game, right? They want to take a knee. I don't have a problem with that. But when the game's being played, I don't want to be inundated with messaging. That's my take. I know where a lot of these guys' viewpoints are. I know a lot of them are great advocates that put a lot of money into their community, which is great, right? But the NBA is a lot of the NBA is a very they have a great marketing arm. They know how to brand, they know how to market, and sometimes businesses they overstep in terms of, hey, look at us, we're progressive. We're with this just for fans or just to strengthen or stabilize their brand.
I agree with you, Nate. I think it's a stupid idea. They should have taken all that money from those jerseys and put it towards real change. I mean, I don't know how many people are gonna Ooh, look at the back of his jersey. Okay, I'm not going to be a racist anymore. Or, I think I'm going to go out and protest because I saw the back of his jersey. Or
well, most people watching that. The NBA, they're not really that audience, right? They're people that are pretty much that they don't really – that's right? So I don't really understand their point. But we could talk – look, there's going to be a lot of social issues we could talk about in the next couple episodes. And I would like to just track this, see where it goes, and maybe see where it started, who originated the idea. And it sounds like there might be a little bigger story here that we're just not privy to. That I'd like to maybe see if we can get some more information on.
Let me end you with one thought: is LeBron James has constantly said that he's more than a basketball player. He doesn't like people to say just shut up and dribble. You know, like he says, more than an athlete, which he prides himself on, and I don't doubt that. But I think that he is. He has an opportunity, whether I agree with it or not, to actually show that he's more than an athlete and stand up for whatever cause he is. And like I said, he's not doing it.
He's not doing it.
He's not. They gave him a platform. They gave him an opportunity, and he quit. He said, no thanks. I'm good with just my name. I don't want to support the black community.
Okay.
I don't want to support equality.
So if you don't do it all, you do nothing in your viewpoint.
No, I'm not absolute. I'm just saying when he talks as if he's more than a basketball player, he wants to be known.
Which he is.
I think we all are more than what our occupation is. Uh-huh. But he'll criticize reporters for asking basketball questions that have never played basketball. So he can only talk basketball. But we should view him as more than a basketball player. You see the difference in, hey, don't talk to me because you never played, but he can talk about everything under the sun because he's the self-appointed
king. Well, there's a difference between that is a lot of times you're an athlete, people put a microphone, they want your opinion. Sometimes athletes shouldn't be talking about anything, but that doesn't mean they still don't do a lot of good for their community. They don't add tremendous value to kids that don't have the shoes or proper education stuff, right? So he does a lot of good, a lot of quality things there. So yeah, I'm not gonna say anytime a reporter sticks a microphone and asks somebody a question about politics in China, the athlete thinks they got to answer. And I don't always put that on the athlete, right? Just, you know, sometimes people ask you a question, you answer, you may not know all the facts, but you kind of give your off the cup and be wrong, right?
It happens every time we do this podcast.
Let me give you a disclaimer. Nate's a Lakers fan.
I'm not a LeBron's fan. That has zero in my opinion on LeBron James. But that was a good conversation, man. Good food for thought. I appreciate that. Do we have any final thoughts, John?
Just, you know, as far as the anti-Semitic posts by DeSean Jackson and Drew Brees, all the reactions, you know, the message is everybody's struggle is important. Nobody's is more important than the other, especially when you're talking about lives. We're either going to come together and make things better, or they'll just continue to get worse.
Like what Paul used to say as a young man, he said, the struggle is real. That was one of his, the struggle is real. Any final thoughts, Paulie?
Yes. I think, and it's hard in today's day and age, but given what the topic was today, a good lesson would be just take a step back from social media. Everybody wants a post on everything about their thoughts. They wake up in the morning. They want the thumbs up. They want somebody to heart them, like them, whatever the fact. You don't need that. You know, just pick up the phone and talk to somebody, engage with somebody. You don't need to post to the world your thoughts. That's only, especially, it's only going to get you in trouble. And we see it with DeSean Jackson and a multitude of, if you want to put Drew Brees in that category, or your best friend or somebody that you know posted something inappropriate on social media, it ultimately comes back to bite you. Just like in the Dunbar Baker case, they found an Instagram post that implicated them. So my point, stay off social media if you can.
Well, yeah, and the one thing is, my final thought is, you know, as a human species, we don't always need an enemy. It's not always someone else's fault that we're in the predicament we're in. You know, we're responsible for our lives. We have to make better decisions. We got to become better as humans to leave a legacy for our kids, for the people we love. We don't need to be pointing our fingers at other people. They're the reason why it's like that for us. We can let go, and we can move forward and build a better life for ourselves and build a better life for our community. Build a better community. All right, thank you guys. I appreciate your guys' time. Thank you. We had another great dialogue. I really appreciate it. And hey, listeners, tune in next week. We got another great podcast coming. And don't shun social media. Join us, find us, engage with us on the platforms. Be well. Take care. Have a great weekend.